Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And before we go to your questions, I want to spend a little time on the cover copy of a book titled The Greatest Show on Earth by Richard Dawkins. The copy says, in 1859, Charles Darwin's masterpiece on the origin of species shook society to its core. Darwin was only too aware of the storm his theory of evolution would provoke, but he surely would have raised an incredulous eyebrow at the controversy still raging a century and a half later. Evolution is accepted as scientific fact by all reputable scientists, and indeed by all reputable theologians. Yet, millions of people continue to question its veracity. The Greatest Show on Earth by Richard Dawkins is a stunning counterattack on advocates of intelligent design, explaining the evidence for evolution and exposing the absurdities of the creationist argument. Dawkins makes an airtight case, says the cover copy. The Greatest Show on Earth comes at a critical time. Systematic opposition to the fact of evolution is menacing as never before. Insidious attempts are being made to undermine the status of science in the classroom. But Richard Dawkins wields a devastating argument against such ignorance. Joining me to talk about The Greatest Show on Earth is my good friend. He is a man who is making a difference while there is time, Jonathan Wells. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, it's good to be back.
It's nice to have you on the broadcast. You have a PhD in biology from the University of California at Berkeley.
Correct.
You have a PhD in theology from Yale University, and you are of a different mind than Richard Dawkins. You liken The Greatest Show on Earth to a three-ring circus, and you say, in a very entertaining and informative article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, that we should be laughing at the arguments that are being put forth by Richard Dawkins. Before we talk about the content of your article, talk about the way you put this article together.
Well, taking my cue from the title of Dawkins' book, I call it a three-ring circus, and I sort of make it into a story about a circus appearance somewhere in the Midwest where people, you know, probably more than in the big cities and university towns, still have their heads screwed on straight and can laugh at things that are obviously untrue. For example, Dawkins claims in his book that the vertebrate eye, our eyes, the eyes of birds and other mammals, are a catastrophe, a design catastrophe, and they could have been done much better. And, you know, anyone who has hawks preying on his chickens, as farmers might in the Midwest, knows that that's a lie. Hawks have, you know, remarkably good eyes. There's nothing catastrophic about them at all. So I have them laughing at him in my tongue-in-cheek review of his book.
Yeah, talk about the eyes a little more. Jonathan, the eyes are said to be a glaring example of imperfection, a catastrophic blunder in the book, and this proves that the eyes are not designed, that the eyes had to have evolution as part of the process.
Well, that's Dawkins' line. It's a line taken by several other Darwin apologists as well. And the basis of their reasoning is that when you look at the structure of the retina, the vertebrate retina, the light-sensing cells point toward the rear of the eye. And the Darwinists argue, well, any decent design would have them pointing toward the front of the eye, because as it is now, the light has to pass through the light-sensing cells to get to the business end. The problem is that the light-sensing cells, for their health and regeneration, require a rich blood supply. And in the vertebrate eye, that blood supply is in the back of the eye, and that's why the cells point into it. If you were to turn that around and put the blood supply in front of the light cells so they could point forwards, we'd be blind because the light wouldn't be able to pass through the blood. So it's a nonsense argument. It has no bearing or no basis, I should say, in any kind of physiological fact. It's just simply a hand-waving argument to justify evolution on the basis of some sort of alleged fact.
I took a trip to Florida with some of my kids, and we actually listened through the audio version on the way there, on the way back. And quite frankly, we did laugh at a lot of the arguments. Address this argument that is made in the book with respect to Darwinus Macilli. This idea that Darwinus Macilli is the scientific equivalent of the Holy Grail, and it sheds light, according to Richard Dawkins, on our ancestry. This is a silly argument.
Well, actually, the fossil itself is now a laughingstock. Last year, there was a huge fanfare. In fact, the fanfare was planned months before the scientific announcement of the fossil itself, with a special on, I think it was the BBC and stuff like that. And they claimed that this lemur, this fossil lemur, was our ancestor, and really made a big deal of it. They nicknamed it Ida. Maybe some of your listeners remember Ida. Well, you don't hear about Ida anymore because further research showed that Ida was not related to us at all and probably left no descendants. So the idea that it's somehow part of our lineage is just utter nonsense, and no scientist takes it seriously anymore, as far as I know.
Talking to Dr. Jonathan Wells, he's the author of Dawkins and Darwin's Three-Ring Circus, which is in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is an absolutely brilliant, informative, and entertaining argument. The article itself makes the argument in a poignant and profound manner, reason enough to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal in and of itself. By the way, you can register your subscription on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or as always, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Take a moment, Dr. Wells, to address equivocation, because Dawkins uses equivocation in a bad way to his advantage. So you never quite know what he's talking about when he uses terms like evolution and creationism.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. The blurb from the book cover that you read at the beginning is a great example of that. Dawkins is talking about people who reject evolution when, in fact, as he says, all reputable scientists and theologians accept it. Well, the problem is there, he doesn't tell us what he means by evolution. If he means, as he sometimes does in his book, minor changes in existing species, well, of course everybody accepts that. Even the most rock-jawed young Earth creationist accepts that. Nobody questions whether species can change over time. We can see it before our very eyes. But then Dawkins, in typical Darwinist fashion will sometimes switch without warning from that, which nobody quarrels with, to evolution in the sense of all living things are descendants of a common ancestor modified by unguided natural processes such as survival of the fittest. Now, that's a totally different meaning of evolution. And yet he slips back and forth to make it sound as though the latter is a fact, when in fact it's highly controversial.
One of the things that he does is brings up arguments that so often are hard to see through by the average person. For example, he'll say that biology has uncovered pseudogenes which demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that evolution produces useless junk, and therefore what we see in the world could never have been the product of an intelligent designer. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, it's actually quite funny, because if you do read the scientific literature, and of course most people don't, they don't know how to get to it, and they wouldn't know how to read it if they found it. But there's just a mountain of evidence just in the last few years that what Dawkins and others have called junk DNA that supposedly accumulated in the course of evolution is not junk at all. It has very important biological functions. A pseudogene is a stretch of DNA that resembles another stretch. The other stretch produces protein and the pseudogene doesn't. But just because the pseudogene doesn't make protein doesn't mean it has no function. And a growing list of functions have been discovered and are still being discovered for those pseudogenes. So Dawkins' argument is resting on basically an ignorance of the evidence.
What about E. coli? According to Richard Dawkins, E. coli are a beautiful demonstration of evolution in action, a demonstration so great and powerful that it has left the creationist, the intelligent design individual, speechless without a rebuttal.
Well, I'm not particularly speechless, and the truth is, we're still talking about changes within an existing species. E. coli, as a common bacterium, it's common in the human intestine. Grows very quickly. It's very small, so you can grow a lot of them in a very short time, and you can mutate them every which way you want, and they will evolve in the sense of minor changes within an existing species. They certainly do evolve in that sense. But as I said just a minute ago, that's not the evolution that Dawkins is pushing. That's something that everybody accepts. Minor changes within existing species are a fact, and nobody questions that. But sometimes E. coli is used to pull the wool over people's eyes to make them think that we're also dealing here with something bigger.
And that exactly represents the book from my perspective. It is just a classic case in point of sleight of hand and sleight of mind.
Yes, it is. In fact, I even mentioned in the book, I compare some of the stuff that Dawkins uses to magicians in the circus, pulling things out of a hat, creating illusions before the very eyes of the audience and stuff like that, because that's really what Dawkins is into here.
One of the things he does, and this is something that I want you to address as both a theologian and a scientist, he brings up this argument, which I hear all the time, that if you are a reputable scientist or a reputable theologian, then you will not question the theory of evolution. You will follow it lockstep.
Well, of course, the key there is the word reputable. And Dawkins and other Darwinists, of course, get to define what that means. So it's an interesting sociological picture. The Darwinist community, once they identify someone as a serious critic, they basically throw them out. They discredit them personally, often through, slander and libel. They deprive them of access to publishing articles, grants, and stuff like that. They fire them from their jobs. The movie Expelled 2 years ago dealt with some of that. And so once someone is discredited, of course, they're no longer a reputable scientist. And so then Dawkins can say all the reputable scientists accept Darwin's theory. The reason being, if you don't accept it, you're evicted.
Jonathan Wells, thank you so much for elucidating this issue on the show and for your work. You are something else. We really appreciate your work.
Thank you for your work too, Hank.
Hey, thanks. God bless you. And of course, the article in the Christian Research Journal, it's a must read, Dawkins and Darwin's Three-Ring Circus by Jonathan Wells. You'll end up laughing by the time you get through this article. And as he says at the end of the article, in a book that claims to present the evidence for evolution, these are serious defects and they deserve serious criticism. And then the final line says, but maybe it's a kinder thing to just laugh. And that's what we have to do. Laugh at evolution. It is no longer tenable in an age of scientific enlightenment. You can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online at equip.org. We'll be right back with your questions.
To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Don't wait. Start your subscription today. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies. Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled "Has God Spoken?" definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of "Has God Spoken?" on audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and do get a copy of Has God Spoken? We say that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, but the Muslims think it's the Quran. The Mormons think it's the Book of Mormon, the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion. How do you know that your authority is the authority? How do you know that your Bible has more weight than the Quran or the Book of Mormon or a Watchtower publication? How do you know that your authority can be trusted, that these are the words of God? If there's a more important question than has God spoken, I am completely unaware of it. So again, the July appeal, the appeal for this month is a must listen. Has God spoken? Evidence that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And the July appeal, Has God Spoken?, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can access the CD on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, by speaking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jim, listening in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too. That was exactly the question that I had. I had two questions. What were you just talking about? How can I tell people that the Bible is God's Word, and how do I tell people or show people that the God of the Bible is the one true God versus everybody else's version of God?
Yeah, well, you start with a couple of things. One is God has revealed himself both in the world and in his word, and you can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, as I do in this CD, by demonstrating that the Bible is stronger manuscript support than any other work of classical history. That includes Homer's Iliad, which was Bible to the ancient Greeks, or Plato, Aristotle, Caesar, Tacitus. The reliability of the Bible is also affirmed by the testimony of its authors, who were eyewitnesses, or they were close associates of eyewitnesses to the recorded events, and also by secular historians who confirm the many events, the people, the places, the customs that are chronicled in the Bible. Right now, I'm actually doing some research on archaeology, and I'm absolutely amazed at how, with virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, we have more and more evidence that the details and descriptions in the Bible correspond to reality, correspond to that which is found in the soil. And not only that, but the Bible records predictions of events that simply cannot be known or predicted by chance or common sense. So through a number of different items, you build this cumulative case that these have to be the words of God as opposed to merely the words of men. And that's what I do. I build this cumulative case in the CD titled, Has God Spoken?
Right. I want to get that. I definitely want to get that. Also, my next question, that's very good, was how can I show people that the God of the Bible, after proving that, convincing people that it's true, that the God of the Bible is the one true God?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One thing we know through the Bible is that the God of the Bible is a personal God. But we also know that through the world. In other words, what was very interesting, if you look at Greek and Roman theology, it was forged on the notion that the gods are capricious, and therefore you could never figure out the universe. Augustine, right after the fall of the Roman Empire, started demonstrating that man's reason, unaided by revelation, will always lead to the blind ditch of ignorance. And therefore, revelation became very important. He started with the revelation, which you find in the Word of God, that God orders the universe by rational, knowable principles. Therefore, the universe itself reflects God. Therefore, we can figure out or unravel the mysteries of God. And as a result of that, there was the greatest period of innovation after the fall of Rome, where there was the invention of clocks and chimneys and compasses and horse collars, and eventually the Christian university, out of which came science. Now, evolution has hijacked science, but true science came right out of the Bible. So there's a way of knowing that God is rational and knowable by the universe, which has the very fingerprints of God imprinted in the universe and the things that the universe entails. Also, we see God has revealed himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is demonstrably God because he had the power to lay down his life and the power to take up his life again. So God has revealed himself in such a way that we can know him and have an intimate personal relationship with him and know that he is indeed the real God, as opposed to, let's say, the God of the Muslims. The God of the Muslims is transcendent. The God of Christianity is both transcendent and knowable and has revealed himself through the person of work and work of Jesus Christ. So the basic argument is you start with a demonstration that God created the universe, that the God who created the universe condescended to cloak himself in time and space so that we could know him and have intimacy with him, and demonstrated that he was God through the resurrection. So we have the argument from creation, the argument from resurrection, and ultimately the argument from the Bible being divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
So my two staples are really creation and resurrection, right?
Three. The three great apologetic issues are the issue of origins.
Origin, yep.
Secondly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the evidence that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
Okay.
Or the way I've titled my CD, Has God Spoken?
Okay. I can't get that today, but I definitely want to get that. And One more quick question. If somebody's really looking for the true God, is it true if I've always heard that God will lead them to Christ?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely true. In fact, this argument is made by the Apostle Paul himself. He points out that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the time set for them, the exact places where they should live. And then Paul says God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Right. So if we respond to the light of creation, which is an outer light, and the light of conscience, which is an inner light, God has written the knowledge of himself on the tablet of our consciousness, then we will be led to the light of Christ. And Paul lays this out sequentially in Romans 1, 2, and 3. Romans 1 dealing with the light of creation, Romans 2 with the light of conscience, and Romans 3, the light of Christ.
Okay, great, great. Oh, I love Romans. That makes sense to me. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, Jim. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron, listening on the web in Prescott, Arizona. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank. I always tell people that evolution is a practical joke of the devil.
Yeah, it is a practical joke, but more consequences for society hinge on that cosmogenic joke.
Terrible.
Yeah.
It's destroying society throughout the world.
Yep.
The question is, do you think that every church should have a class to teach members how to share the gospel and also have an evangelism ministry? And I ask this because I've been in a dozen churches, attended a few dozen more, and none of them have had an actual evangelism class, and only a couple have had any kind of Great Commission ministry, evangelistic ministry.
Yeah, well, I think that's absolutely right. The real problem, I've said this many times on the show, the real problem is not evangelism. The real problem is equipping for evangelism.
Right.
The reason people don't evangelize is because they're not prepared to evangelize. And therefore, it is incumbent upon the church to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened so that we might go out and impact a lost and searching world. And therefore, pastors and teachers ought to teach Christians how to build a relationship with a non-believer, how to share the good news of the gospel,
right,
how to lead someone in a response to the gospel, and then take them through the basic steps of discipleship and growth as new believers. The myth is that the pastor or the evangelist, the hired gun, has to do the work of ministry, and that's not the case. It is God's people who are to do the work of ministry. You look at the early Christian church. Certainly the apostles got their licks in terms of evangelism, but they stayed in Jerusalem. It was the believers who were scattered throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and they euangelizma. They preached the word wherever they went. They evangelized wherever they went, and that's what caused the explosion of growth in Christianity in the first century. We're seeing that today in China. We're seeing people in China who are literally causing Christianity to explode in an area that has been for centuries the domain of ancestor worship and folk religions and Taoism and Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam. The gospel is having great impact, bearing great fruit, because every believer is being equipped to communicate the gospel.
Right. Hank, could you quickly comment on a dangerous trend I see in America where too many churches are becoming seeker-friendly churches instead of Great Commission churches?
Yeah, I think the danger is this, that oftentimes what you win them by is what you win them to. So if you buy into the idea that you got to get a crowd, and out of the crowd you're going to get a core, sometimes it doesn't work if there isn't a process by which you can get the crowd into a more succinct fashion of learning how to become disciples or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't leave it to what happens in churches oftentimes on Sunday morning, where you're giving pagans what they want, baptized secular humanism. You've got to take it to another level, and that is to equip God's people. Be right back with more.
If you appreciate Hank Hanegraaff's passion for the Word of God, then you need the Legacy Study Bible, which is designed to help you leave your legacy as you journey through the pages of Scripture. Hank's love of Scripture has also led him to produce Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, a book that deals with the aberrations so prevalent in today's churches and equips you to be able to discern truth from error. Hank would like to personalize a copy of the Legacy Study Bible, or for a limited time, a special numbered leather-bound edition of Christianity in Crisis 21st Century for your generous gift of $250. To receive a personalized copy of the Legacy Study Bible or the limited leather edition Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org.
Now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hannah Graff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a couple words before we go back to our callers. First of all, I'm going to stay in studio today for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls, so please do not give up hope. We only have a little time left in this broadcast, but a full hour to come. I'll continue answering your questions, and we'll play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Also, at the very beginning of the broadcast today, we're talking about the Christian Research Journal, in particular, Dawkins and Darwin's Three-Ring Circus, an article by Jonathan Wells, which is worth subscription to the Christian Research Journal all by itself. It's just an incredible article. Anyway, CRI's award-winning magazine, The Christian Research Journal, is a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. It is on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true. It probes today's religious movements, promotes critical thinking, and Lord knows we need that, and provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. Thought-provoking opinion pieces, in-depth feature articles, and so much more. I write for every single edition of the Christian Research Journal. A one-year subscription costs less than a one-month cable bill. Get rid of cable, get the Christian Research Journal. If nothing else, you can subscribe online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Bill. He's listening in Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Listen, my question is on divorce and remarriage. Okay. I've been reading the passage in Matthew, I think it's Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus is like, if a man divorces and remarries, except for adultery, then he's guilty of adultery, you know, with his second wife.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to apply that practically. Okay, is this essentially saying, you know, like, suppose I meet somebody, and I meet a woman, and she's divorced, and she got divorced like 10 years ago. And, you know, there's really not much chance of reconciliation as far as I'm aware, as far as she's aware. Does this basically mean that for the rest of her life, she can't get remarried?
Well, a couple of things. One is, I mentioned that in the Christian Research Journal, there's a great article on divorce and remarriage. You really want to read this article. Secondly, I think the principle is that divorce is always a cause for the hard of heart, which is to say that is the reason that there's an even exception for divorce as given in the Bible, because the ultimate good is reconciliation. But if the door to reconciliation is irrevocably closed, you can't unscramble the egg. The point that the Bible makes, and Paul is explicit about this, he says that if an unbelieving spouse leaves a relationship, then the other party is not bound in that circumstance. But if the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So the point is this: if you are a believer and you're in a relationship, you should not seek a divorce. You should seek reconciliation, because you want to do it God's way rather than doing it the world's way. The world's way is a lack of commitment, which is to say, love is a feeling, and when the feeling ebbs, we look for the grass that's greener on the other side of the fence, which usually, in fact, is dead. And so we haven't realized that love is a commitment. And that's the point. As Christ is committed to us, we should be committed in our relationships. We should love someone, not because they bring us joy and fulfillment. We should love the other party even if they don't, because love ultimately must be selfless rather than selfish. Now, you can't unscramble eggs, and therefore, if, let's say, you are talking about Christians simply don't get divorces, if they are genuinely committed to Christ and genuinely committed to one another. Because they're always going to look for reconciliation. Why? Because they've repented of their sins and they want to do it God's way. If, in fact, prior to being Christians, you did things, you can't unscramble that egg, I don't say irrevocably that you now are in a situation where you cannot marry someone. Because you're now buried to your old life and raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And that's the very thing that happens in baptism, which is a sign and a seal that you're no longer your own, but you're bought with a price, and that the old is gone and you're marching on as a new creation in Christ. So now as a new creation in Christ, you want to live according to the principles of Christ. Again, you cannot resurrect old or bad history. You know, that's past. You have to march on now as a Christian by living your life in accordance with the principles of the kingdom. So if there's a possibility for reconciliation, you want to work towards reconciliation. If that door is irrevocably closed, I do not say on the basis of Scripture that marriage is precluded, that it's an impossibility, that it can't be part of your future.
Okay, when you say irrevocably closed.
Well, what I mean by that is, look, if there's no possibility of reconciliation whatsoever, maybe the spouse has died, maybe the spouse has remarried, maybe the door in some other way has been closed such that there cannot be reconciliation from perspective of the marriage, then the door is closed. You want to do all you can for reconciliation to take place. If that is impossible by human standards, impossible as a Christian living in concert with the will and word of God, then I say move on.
Okay, what if it's simply a case where the two people just don't want to get remarried? No, you know, there was no adultery, no one has died, no one has gotten remarried, but, you know, they got married young, they felt that it was a mistake.
Both Christians?
And it's 10 years later now, they've moved on.
Are they both Christians?
Let's assume that they are.
Well, if they're both Christians, I don't see that this happens in the first place. Therefore, it's a hypothetical. But I also say this. I think it's important that a pastor, someone who is a mature Christian in your neck of the woods with feet on the ground, can actually sit down and deal with the details.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of ifs in an electronic conversation that simply cannot be unraveled, and I think it does take good counsel.
Okay, but in general, are you saying then that you do not believe that if two people get divorced for reasons that are not biblical, like, you know, there was no infidelity?
Well, first of all, you got to define the people.
Life,
you got to define the people.
Get remarried again.
You got to define the people.
But you have to define the what?
You got to define the people. I mean, are they people who are part of the kingdom or people that are outside the kingdom? Are they
Let's assume that they, in this particular circumstance, I don't know. So let's say that they are people in the kingdom.
If they're people,
do you think that two Christians who got divorced 10 years ago and they were Christians at the time that they got divorced, should they not ever remarry?
Well, you're asking a hypothetical again, and that's my problem with the conversation.
Okay.
If they are people who are living by the principles of the kingdom, then you don't get a divorce. You seek reconciliation because your standard is not the standard of the world. Your standard is the standard of the king and the kingdom.
Okay.
You see, so if you are committed to Christ, you're going to be committed to one another. So if you are a believer and you genuinely love Christ, you have said, I have repented of my old life. I have been born again into a new life. The old me is gone. The new me has resurrected. That's the image of coming up out of the water. You're a new person, and now you're a person living by the principles of the kingdom. Now, as a new person living by the principles of the kingdom, you are not going to simply get a divorce in a cavalier fashion because your feelings have changed. and you decide to, no, you are going to live by the principles of the king. Now, certainly there's all kinds of possibilities here. There's the possibility that a Christian has not matured, and this takes place at a point where they haven't matured, and therefore they don't know the principles of the kingdom, or something like that. And that's why I say, I don't think you can throw out a hypothetical and get a categorical answer. What you need is boots on the ground. You need someone that can look at the circumstance in its entirety and help you make a decision based on what the biblical parameters and principles are. But
okay,
the basic,
so you wouldn't just make a blanket statement. You'd have to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Well, I think so. I don't think you can be dogmatic without knowing all the details.
Okay.
But the basic parameters are there. If you're a believer, you shouldn't seek a divorce. I mean, that's what Paul says. If the unbeliever, even if you're married to an unbeliever, if that unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, then you can't get a divorce. So even if you're married to an unbeliever and the unbeliever wants to stay in the relationship, the believer shouldn't get a divorce. But you got to keep going backwards in this process as well. What's an unbeliever doing married to a believer in the first place? Something went wrong at the very genesis of the relationship, because the Bible's plain that unbelievers can be married to one another, but believers don't marry unbelievers. You must not be unequally yoked. And think about the ramifications for a family. If the mother is an atheist and the father is an evangelical believer, they're going to be pulling the cart in a lopsided way, and the kids are going to fall out of the cart.
Okay. In the case of adultery, Jesus said, if you even look at a woman lustfully, you committed adultery with her in your heart. So could somebody ever, do you feel that somebody could ever use that as justification?
No, that's not justification. That's rationalization.
Okay.
That's rationalization. Certainly there's a difference between looking at a woman lustfully and committing adultery in the physical sense. The consequences are far different as well. So I don't think we can say, oh, well, I think she might have been flirting with someone, therefore I have my out. This is the kind of thing that the Pharisees do. They tithe their mint and their cumin, but they neglect the weightier matters of the law. In other words, they're using Christianity as a pretext, as a rather than a parameter by which they live their lives, or within which they live their lives. We're going to have to leave it at that. Good conversation. The article is The Motherload. You got to order the article. It's in the Christian Research Journal. Read it carefully. It's probably the best article I've ever seen on the subject. Again, available through the Christian Research Journal. Be right back.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection: Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.